Okay. Just begin with a scheduling note. After today, we're going to be off for a few weeks. Next Thursday is Bidikas Chametz, Mirtz Hashem. The following Thursday is Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And after that, we're making Bar Mitzvah, Parsha Shmini. So I'm probably not going to give you a Shia Thursday night. But that Shabbos of Bar Mitzvah is also the yard site I'll be observing for my mother. So I hope to give a Shira in the Shul before the first Mincha Shabbos afternoon. So that'll be in lieu of that Thursday night Shira. The following week, Tezri Mitzvah, I'm going to be away. So we'll resume Mirtz Hashem, Parsha Sachrei Mos Kedoshim in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. Okay. What I wanted to discuss tonight is a Mechiras Chametz related issue, and that is, under what circumstances can a rabbi sell Chametz on behalf of a balabas without the express consent or authorization of that balabas? So that begins with the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, the first page of the Marmor Chametz here, Arachayim Simen Shin Mem Zayin. Avnei Nezer, Arachayim Simen Shin Mem Zayin. Avnei Nezer is asked the following. Kila achas machu chemsam la rav. So they all authorized a certain rabbi to sell their chametz. And then the rabbi took ill. He wasn't able to execute the mechira on behalf of the Baal Batim. The assistant rabbi did the mechira. The assistant rabbi didn't remember, didn't realize that the only person authorized in the document was the rabbi, not the assistant rabbi. Now it's mid-yantiv and they remember. So was that mechira valid where they authorized the rabbi to sell the chametz and the different rabbi sold the chametz instead? So first the Avnei Nezer argues, true that the dayan, the assistant rabbi, wasn't appointed. But bottom line, they don't really care who sells the chametz, they just want the chametz to be sold. The point was, sell the chametz. Who really cares who sells the chametz? Obviously, it's to their benefit and in their interest. So that's the Kol HaTorah Kula Din of Zachin L'Adam Shalav B'Fanav. I can acquire something on someone else's behalf without his authorization if it's considered to be a zechus for him. So here is clearly a zechus for the Baal Batim to have their chametz sold. Even if they didn't expressly authorize the assistant rabbi, he still has the right, or the mechira's chametz that he affected is still valid. Aye, there are instances in which there's a restriction on this kind of a shlichus. Don't we have the din by truma? Ha'omer l'shlichus tzevet trom, shama achir v'tarim shalom mahani. Person instructs one individual to be torim in his behalf. Someone else hears the instruction, the other person is mafresh truma. That doesn't work. That's because people will have different preferences as how they want the hafresh truma to take place. Midas beinoni, midas ayin ra, ayin tov. So the person who wasn't authorized doesn't necessarily know what the intent or the interest of the balabas is, how he wants his truma to be hufresh. But over here, mechira's chametz is mechira's chametz. There aren't different qualities of mechira. Mechira's and mechira, and it shouldn't make a difference. So that's the initial presentation of the Avnei Nezer. However, he retracts a little bit. He says, maybe it's not so clear. Even though there is a Kol HaTorah Kula Din of Zachin L'Adam Shelav B'Fanav, at the same time, if a person indicates that he's not interested in that zechus, even if we would assess it to be an objective zechus, that disinterest may be significant. So if someone acts instead of a different individual to be Zachin on his behalf, and then he finds out that the person didn't want it to be Zachin, that could have ramifications that the Zechi wasn't Chal. So maybe here, what would happen if the Baal Batim would decide on Chol HaMoed that they didn't want this assistant rabbi to have sold the chametz? Maybe that's of consequence. He recommends that on Chol HaMoed they make an explicit authorization, explicit declaration that Nichalahu, that the assistant rabbi should have sold the chametz, and that's going to work Mikan L'Haba. And then he raises the question, what about Baal Yerah L'Mafreya? Are we concerned that maybe the Mechira wasn't Chal up until that point? And then as far as Chametz to Avrilav HaPesach, well, it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, so you have the right to be Mekel. Even that he's not so sure about, so maybe you should be Mevatel the Chametz to Avrilav HaPesach Barov. So even though they sold the Chametz, since it was the assistant rabbi who wasn't expressly authorized to do the sale, to cover your bases, he recommends being mevatel the chametz barov achar Pesach to make sure there's no concern of chametz she'aver lav ha-pesach.
Yeah.
Rabbi Zilberstein points out, or whoever wrote up Rabbi Zilberstein's material on the Haggadah, points out that sometimes this could happen, sounds like more in Eretz Yisrael, that you have the local rabbi or the local rabbinut representative whose name is on the harsha for the Mechivas Chametz, that he's not the one who's actually doing the sales. He has to make sure that the document lines up with the person actually doing the Mechira. Right, kind of like for however many years after Baron Soloveitchik passed away, his name is still on the Streitz Matzah, Sashkacha, or Rabbi Goldwicht in YU for years had put out the Maxis Hashaka collection, Bashkachas of Shlomo Zalman, many years after Shlomo Zalman passed away. So you have to make sure that the literature lines up, the document lines up with the person who's actually doing the Mechira. Fine. Rabbi Zilberstein has a similar question, which is, let's say you appointed a rabbi to sell chametz, but he's a little bit on in years, and he suffers some kind of mild dementia, and has certain days where he's better and certain days where he's worse. So at the time that you authorized him to sell the chametz, he wasn't in sound state of mind, but when he actually comes to meet the Nachri on Erev Pesach, he's in a better state of mind. So the authorization that you made at the time that the rabbi wasn't in a sound state of mind, is that a valid authorization? So again, this could relate to these issues of Zachin. The assumption is that if you're appointing the rabbi, even if there's a technical impediment to the minoy at that point, but your intent, your interest is for him to sell the chametz, he points out, source number two, Tshuva Avi Biskel Chanan, Evan Ezer Simon Beis Os Gimel, Evan Ezer Simon Beis Os Gimel in the Ein Yitzchak, about a situation where there is a minoy shlichus for the authorization and the writing of a get, and at the time of the minoy, the person wasn't necessarily of sound mind. By the time that he came to write the get, he was of sound mind. So he argues in the bolded the bolded line, the second page of the Marmar Kamos, it's clearly understood that the husband wants the shaliach who he appointed to deliver the get to his wife, so that he won't be over chayndir bin gershom by marrying a second wife. So chayndiyah miftar min zamasei, he shouldn't have to pay her support. And therefore, if he made the authorization and clearly wanted the shaliach to serve as a shaliach, even at the time of the authorization, the shaliach was not fully of sound mind. If he becomes of sound mind at the time that he's executing the shlichus, that is sufficient. A related corollary application to the Avnei Nezer's initial argument that where it's clear that Nichluhu, the people want the chametz to be sold, and they don't really care who's doing the selling of the chametz, even if they expressly authorized one rav, that may be Lav Dafka. So we have a parallel to that in Hilchos Gittin. We discussed in our opening round of Shirim a few years ago, the Evan Ezer series. We discussed the Tzvat Get of a few years ago, which raised a number of issues, including the possibility or impossibility of ever doing a get zikui avor habal, where a husband did not authorize the writing of a get, but we estimate that it's in the husband's best interest to write a get. Is there any way of writing the get on behalf of the husband without his authorization? The short answer is no, and that was the controversy of the tzvat get, but a earlier issue where there is more traction among poskim, far less extreme than the case of the Tzvat Get, where they did authorize a get on behalf of a husband who was in a permanent vegetative state or something of the sort, who wasn't in a position to authorize a get. But there was literature in the 1950s, a case where the Rabbanut of Haifa had sent a emissary to Moscow to arrange for the issuance of gittin from some husbands whose wives had moved to Israel. And whoever was making these arrangements in Moscow had the husbands who appeared in front of them appoint a given shaliach, appoint a given agent to deliver the get on their behalf back in Eretz Yisrael to the wives. The problem was that on the way back, or at some point before he was able to fulfill his shlichus, the shaliach passed away. He was the only one authorized to deliver a get to these women, and there was no way of getting back to Moscow and doing this a second time. So the question was, what do you have the ability to assume that the authorization that the husband made for the shliach is somewhat lav dafka? He didn't care who's going to deliver the get in his behalf. The rabbi said to him, appoint this guy as your shliach. So you appointed that guy as your shliach. If you would have asked him, do you only want this person to be your shliach? Can someone else be the shliach? Obviously he wouldn't care. He just wanted the get to be delivered to his wife. So the argument made by a number of poskim at the time, You have here Minchas Yitzchak Chelak Aleph Siman Mem Tes. Oh, sorry, I didn't give it to you. Okay, Minchas Yitzchak Chelak Aleph Siman Mem Tes. Dayin Weiss. Rav Yashiv weighed in on this, printed in Kovitz Chuvas, I think Chelak Aleph. Rav Herzog weighed in on this, as did Rav Zvi Pesach Frank in the 1950s. So the consensus of all these poskim was that in this situation, you had the right to appoint another shliach or have another shliach act in the stead of the first shliach on behalf of the husband, because the husband's intent wasn't limited to this particular shliach, even though that was the one he appointed. He just wanted to give the get to his husband. So there's a clear application of zachin to, he already appointed the shliach, he wants the get to be delivered, so he could have another shliach act in his stead. Okay. Now, the argument that you can invoke Zachin in the Mechiras Chametz context, in a case where, Avnezer's situation, you appointed one person to sell the Chametz, he's unable to do so, someone else steps in place of that incapacitated rabbi, so that seems to take a stance into the famous discussion in Achronim as to whether we only say Zachin le'adam shalabafanov, you can only acquire something on someone else's behalf and not in his presence, or do we even say Zachin me'adam, are we even able to take something away from someone's possession where it's to its benefit shalabafanov? So that's the famous Ksos. Marmer comes here, Simon Reish Mem Gimel Sivkatan Ches, Simon Reish Mem Gimel Sivkatan Ches, who argues that we only say Zachin le'adam shelo b'fanav, we don't say Zachin me'adam shelo b'fanav. We'll read a couple lines. That same Gemara in Chulin that we referenced earlier, the case of appointing someone else to be mafir shumas on your behalf. So the Ksos writes, Afagav the hasam nicha, the third line, nicha le'shetika in kiryo, even though it's to your benefit that the guy is being mafresh on your behalf. Yesh lomer, the tar mishalo, ashel chavei roshani, delo be'inan shlucha ledaito, al abatar mishal balakri al balakri, abatar mishalo, ashel chavei ro, kevin she'eno shal balakri, lo be'inan shlichuso. This is from the Tshuva Sadeshen. And kakas etosin shabin adarim, So the Tshuva Sadeshen, which the Ramah paskins in Yoredein Hilchos Chala Simen Shin Kaf Ches, says that in a situation of Zechus, a person has Chala that needs to be Hufrash, he's not home, and if you're not going to be Mafresh Chala now, then the dough is going to go bad. So either be Mafresh now, or you're going to lose the whole Issa. So the Tshuva Sadeshen argues that's considered a zchus, that's considered to the benefit of the Baal HaBayis, even if he didn't authorize the Mishareses to be Mafresh Chala, she's allowed to be Mafresh Chala based on the principle of Zachin. And the Ksos argues, Im kein behaide Mishareses to Mafresh Chala Mishar Baal HaBayis, eim ez Mishar Zchus, delar min a Zachin le'adam shalom b'fanav, el ha'echad ezocha makabal beiz adavar k'ma b'zachin v'tzal plenu. We only say Zachin where the owner is going to acquire something through your Zachin mechanism. Or you're going to give a get to a woman, so someone can be zocha on behalf of the woman in the get. When it comes to afrash eschala, so by afrash eschala, you're not giving anything to the Baal HaBayis, you're doing a nichusa, you're doing him a favor, but a favor isn't halachically considered to be zechia. So that's not considered an application of shlichus. Shlichus lami taras nichusa. And therefore, he argues on the Tshuva Sadeshen, which is essentially arguing on the Ramah, that you don't have the ability to be mafresh chal on behalf of a Baal HaBayis, even if it is to his benefit. Zachin is limited to where I'm acquiring something tangible on his behalf.
Why can't you say half the bezin, half gear, and just say one bezin comes and says, no yid owns chametz. We made half gear all the chametz, and it doesn't belong to any yid, so therefore, by definition, it's never shalacham.
Well, so that is a din of Shnei Dvarim Eino B'Shusa Shel Adam V'Asan HaKasev Kilu Hin B'Shusam. So we dafka don't say that. We say that even though... Well, so Chazal already had an interest in pushing the other direction in making sure that Chametz would be properly divested before Pesach and there are consequences for not doing it. So there's actually an opposite orientation when it comes to chametz. But bila d'zemei, so based on the ksos, if you accept this distinction between zachin le'adam shalabafanav and zachin me'adam shalabafanav, then a case in bechiras chametz is clearly, at first glance, sounds like it's zachin me'adam, it's taking something away from the balabayis, and that wouldn't fit into the ksos' definition of zachiyah. Rabbi Bleich points out that if you look around the literature, and the Ksos has Rishonim that he thinks are the source for this distinction, but you don't have evidence for that in most Rishonim, and it seems like Lalacha, the fact, for example, that the Ramah does pass another Tumas Hadesh in Hilchos Challah, seems like Lalacha, most poskim assume, not like the Ksos, that we say not only Zachin La'adam Shalabafanav, but Zachin Me'adam Shalabafanav as well. If you take a look at the last page of the Marmar Kamos, there's an excerpt here from the Tumas Beis Avi, Rabbi Libus from the Bronx. Orachayim, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Mem. Chelek Aleph, Orachayim, Simen, Mem. So he quotes one of the Ksos's objections to the Tumas Hadeshen is from the case of, he quotes that some raise the following issue about the Ksos. What about the principle of Ger Katan Bilan Asaldas Bezdin? The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Yud Aleph, the whole mechanism for Ger Katan is Zachin. So what's a Zachin, if it's only Zachin Le'adam, what tangible thing are you giving the Katan when you are converting him as a Katan? That sounds like Zachin Me'adam, not Zachin Le'adam. So the Beis Avi, Rabbi Libus, says that's not necessarily such a Kasha. In the second to last paragraph here, Amnam, Iker did Zachia Nema Rakim Zocha Shem Dover Aviro. Avalav Dafka Chayfetz. So Zachin doesn't have to be something tangible. It has to be something of significance, but it could be an intangible also. So when it comes to Ger Katan, Bezdin Zochin Aviro, Havikilu Hu Osa Midaito, Kain Li Kano Sadas Yisrael. So they're giving him something. They're giving him his Judaism. So that's like something. It's not tangible. It's an intangible, but it's something of significance, of consequence, of value, that even according to the Ksos, you should be able to say Zachin. Fine. Chubas Marsham, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Ayin Zayin, was asked the following question. Second page of the Mar Makamos. Question was, Reuven Shanasan Harshal Harav Eza Yamakana Pesach, Limkar Chamso. So Reuven authorized the rabbi to sell his chametz before Pesach, a few days before Pesach, and he signed the Ksav Rasha, he signed the authorization. And the little note, it has LF Tes Yayin Saraf, 1,000 bottles of beer on the wall. And then, after he already authorized the Mechira, but before Pesach, he sold these 1,000 bottles of beer to someone else who was Mekabel Achrayis, but didn't yet take possession of the beer. So the Yayin or the whiskey. So the question was, is this Mechira Chal on that Mashke that he already divested himself of prior to Pesach and gave it to someone else who hadn't yet taken physical possession but was the halachic owner and didn't himself do a Mechira? So the Marsham, two lines in the bottom of the second page here, the question is, what about Chamesh Av of Pesach? What is the status of this whiskey? Near lahatir bepshitos al pimasha kasev b'shuvas panim iros dim loya balabayis bebeso umacher ish acher chemso mahani. Not only the case of the Avnei Nezer, where you expressly indicated your interest in selling the chametz, just the rabbi wasn't available, so another rabbi stepped in. Here we're talking about a case the panim iros discusses, where the guy didn't make any authorization. He was lazy, he didn't care, he didn't authorize the selling of the chametz. Someone else came along and sold his chametz on his behalf. That still works. Mishim Zachin La'adam Shelo Bifanav. That's an application of Zachin, which would be effective even if there's no authorization of the Mechira whatsoever.
So we're assuming that Shimon the Lokeach is the halachic owner based on what principle?
Based on the...
There was a Mashiach, so there was Kesef, which we assume is not Kona.
And there's Kiyas Kaf, so Situmta. Presumably the Situmta was a luckily effective Kenyan, even though it wasn't yet Bechatzero, so he's a Balabas, and he didn't do Mechiras Chametz. So, based on the Panim Eros, The Marasham argues that there's an implicit zachen here, nichalei, that the chametz should be sold. These are both from people. Mm-hmm. So even if the chametz wasn't technically sold, even if nicha to both of them, that the original mechira that did include this whiskey should be chal. Okay, Tshuvas Har Tzvi Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Tes. Tshuvas Har Tzvi Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Tes. It's asked a similar question. Someone sold chametz of his neighbor without authorization. So is that mafkia the iser, and is that therefore not subject to chametz over lav ha-pesach? And what do we say if the guy had chametz in his house all Pesach, which he didn't sell? So are you going to say that that's considered nichalei if he couldn't care less? So even here he argues, based on the part of Meiros, Zechia Mitam Shlichos, and maybe there are grounds to accept that Mechira, even if it was done without his authorization. That's he raises that question. Divrei Malkiel, Chela Dalu Simi Yuches. Divrei Malkiel, the Lam Jerav Chela Dalu Simi Yuches, opposes a practice that some had, that the Shtar Mechira of the Rabbi would have a certain catch-all phrase that would include the sale of people that didn't expressly authorize the sale of their chametz. So he's writing to the Shoel who had the practice of including even those who forgot to sell. So he says he didn't have this practice himself, and it wasn't the practice of his rebbeim. And davar mefukbak ba'odadaiti, kielo ein davar mesuyim. So when you go to sell, the rabbi goes to sell the chametz to the nachri, he's selling a set amount of chametz in set locations, davar mesuyim no reselling. But here, who knows how many people forgot to sell the chametz? Who knows how much chametz they have? So how is that mechira going to be chal? It's a darish ein mesuyim. If you went to the rabbi afterwards and said, I forgot to sell, so then that's a little bit better, because then maybe the catch-all phrase could be effective. But it only makes sense, he says, if you basically have one rabbi in a town and everyone is connected to that rabbi. Because then you know, if you're going to sell the chametz, you're only selling through this rabbi. But if you have multiple rabbis, or if you have, he says, a village, the villagers go to different big cities to sell the chametz. And even in a big city, there are different rabbanim selling the chametz. So it only works in a city where you have a self-contained constituency, where there's no one else who could possibly sell the chametz. Then you could entertain this kind of blanket authorization to include other people who hadn't expressly authorized the selling of chametz. In this beautiful sefer by my friend Rav Avadia Yosef Toledano, Rav Avadia's grandson, Mishpat HaMechira, all about Mechira's Chametz, he quotes a number of Achronim that did have this practice of a blanket Shtar Mechira that includes even people that didn't expressly authorize, including the Sechemed. And the question is, how effective could that really be in today's contemporary situation, as the Divrei Malkiel raises, where not everyone is shaykh to the same Rav, and by people who aren't really observant, who don't care to sell their chametz, so then it's arguably lo nichalei. So he quotes from his grandfather two different situations where he was asked similar shayles and gave different answers based on the circumstances. One of them, this is page mem hey. So he was asked by a Yehudi Mesorati, a traditional Jew, who did bidigas chametz, and he did bitul chametz, as it says in the Siddur. But he forgot to sell his chametz in the store, and he had a significant stash of chametz in the store that would have been a hefsin meruba. So he wanted to know, could he be mitzayr with the fact that he was mevatel the chametz with the catch-all phrase that some rabbanim use in their shtar mechira? So Rav Avadia Paskin, that since he already did a bittul, you could be mitzayr with that with the catch-all mechira, and just warn the Baal HaChanut that next year in the future you should be very careful to not forget again. That was one case. Then he has another case of a Baal HaChanut who wasn't a Shabbat Torah mitzvah, so he didn't do B'digas Chametz, he didn't do B'tol Chametz, he didn't sell his Chametz, he didn't do anything. And after Pesach, he wants to know whether he can sell all his chametz. Is that chametz are love of Pesach, meaning can he open the store again and engage in commerce with the chametz? So there are vavadei paskin, definitely not. You have to burn everything, and there's no heter, and you can't rely on the catch-all phrase in the Rabbanut Mechira that it covers people that forget. That's people that forget who are connected to the Isser Chametz, who don't want to be in possession of Chametz on any level, and for whatever reason they forgot to do the Mechira, but they cover their bases otherwise, the Bittel and a Bedika, etc. Where there's some kind of onus. Where there's no onus, the guy couldn't care less, and then after the fact he comes, wakes up, and he doesn't want to lose all the chametz that he had in the store, that Rav Avadia wasn't willing to be mekel on.
If I sell the chametz on Sunday,
yeah,
and then I go next Friday night will be Pesach, and I go Wednesday buy chametz, that
mechiras chametz
that I did on Sunday, will that cover what we bought new?
That mechiras chametz, it depends how it's worded, but typically be worded that it's referring to any chametz in your possession at the time that the mechira takes place.
Right.
Well, you're not selling it to him. You're authorizing him to sell chametz on your behalf. But the authorization is that whatever chametz is in my possession at that point, you're authorized to sell. Okay, after that, Marv. Thank you so much. If you could share it or forward it.
Forward it to the others. Thank you so much. Just get your email. That's all.